This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset.
Hello and welcome back to Finding the Funny. This is the podcast where two sisters get together every week and talk shit.
Well, not really do much to be honest.
No, we just chat a lot of shit for a long time. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up and stick around for the next half hour or so. It might well be right up your strasse.
So,
hey Pats.
What's going down, mate? What's happening?
I've realised, Ange,
you start every episode of this podcast going, "We is back.
We is back. We is back." Episode 19.
Yeah, and then you tell us what episode we're on.
Yeah, it's my little sort of, you know, it's my little sort of regular bit just to get me in the vibe.
Get you in the zone.
Getting me in the vibes.
I had loads of messages this week from people who watched
The Wall.
One which particularly caught my eye. This was from someone on Instagram. I can't remember who sent it to me, but she said, "So my husband and I watched The Wall for the first time last night after listening to this week's podcast. As a result, we've basically spoken in Danny Dyer's voice all day. So much so that my husband just picked up the Sky Q remote and said, 'The Wall,' in Danny Dyer's voice. And Sky brought up all of the episodes of The Wall on the screen. Yes. Now we can't stop laughing."
That is brilliant. Just for our listeners, if you haven't listened in to sort of last week's, The Wall, as it actually should be said, is is a TV program here in the UK. It's just like a quiz type program with this massive wall, and you have balls that you put down basically to try and win money. That's the kind of premise of the game.
And Danny Dyer is like East London boy.
Cockney geezer love. Yeah. So, yeah. For anyone who hasn't listened to our last week's ep or doesn't know the program, it is, yeah, it's a program called The Wall, pronounced in Danny Dyer's accent as The Wall.
But if you haven't listened to last week's episodes, why the hell not go back and listen right now and then yes. come back and join us.
And
this
will
one.
All make sense. Yes.
Yeah.
I actually watched it because obviously we were out Saturday night.
Yes.
So it didn't. So I actually watched it last night.
Sunday,
yes, just to be clear on that, people. Yes, Sunday I watched it. And one of the things I found really interesting with him this week, with Danny, was the way he said Graham.
Yeah! He couldn't say it,
Graham. Graham. I love Graham. He kept saying his name all the time.
Except the other thing I found.
She's off. Kathy's off.
The other thing I found really funny.
Yeah.
The Guam's wife.
Guam.
His wife.
Yeah.
Kept saying, every question that was asked, she kept saying, "This is his bag."
Yes, that's what. I made notes from.
"This is his bag."
Every topic was Graham's bag. But actually, Graham was shit. I've actually written down, right, this is what I've written down. Lynn kept on backing Graham. Graham was shit. Graham got two questions right. Graham was shit. Every topic was Graham's bag. But Graham was shit. That's what I've actually written down.
I'm actually crying with laughter.
Yeah, but I was literally chatting at the TV going, "Lynn, will you stop fucking backing Graham? He's fucking shit, love."
What about when Danny Dyer said to her, "All right, how many bags has Graham got?" "Here's Graham has got a load of bags here."
I know there was one, right? There was a geography question,
yes,
right?
I know what you're going to say.
And Lynn, straight, geography's Graham's bag. I know. I think he's gonna. I'm gonna triple up on this one. I don't know why I'm talking like that for Lynn. No, Lynn's not.
She was Welsh.
She was. Yes.
We had a whole concoction of accents going on. They were from Merthyr Tydfil.
They were. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the question was, the geography question that he was asked was basically it was a geography question. And he said, his answer was that you could view Alcatraz from the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And I was like, Graham!
It was blatantly the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes! Like, one's on the East Coast, one's on the West Coast,
on the West
mate.
Coast.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because Lynn just kept saying, oh, someone's got to back him. I'm going to have to back him. Like every single time she was asked, well, I know my friends aren't backing him, but someone has got to back him, Danny. I'm going to back him.
I'm backing him. And I was like,
Backing him. I'm tripling up. I'm putting them all in seven and we're going to lose every
25
last
grand
pound.
Yeah. And then obviously then, you know, he didn't. So didn't, the other kind of part of the program is that one of the contestants goes to a room and is not aware of what's going on with the wall and the balls. So one of the contestants is out there trying to win money with these balls. The other contestant has to answer the questions. But at the very beginning of the program, you have kind of three shots, and whatever you get in that. And those three balls.
This
is kind
of
guaranteed.
This is quite.
Well, I'm giving our listeners a lot of detail.
I think basically what we need to say is there's a contract at the end that you can sign, and you'll go home with the guarantee. So they had £14,000.
Yes.
When he got the contract, they had £9,000, and then you do three more balls, and if he had signed that contract, they'd have gone home with a guaranteed
like 14 grand 50, or something. Yeah.
And then he decided to rip it up and she'd lost all the money in the last round, so they went with zero.
Zero.
Because she just kept backing him.
She was backing him. She should just not have backed saying, Graham at all.
Graham. Well, that is...
Yeah, so that it was a good ep. It was a good ep.
Anyway, so you've had an all right week.
Yes, it's not been too bad, Pats. Yes, all right week. Actually, Pats. Something I do need to share with our listeners is the lovely gift that I got from you in the week.
Oh, yeah.
It was so lovely. Obviously, this is off the back of us coming to yours a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You cooking us a delicious curry in the slow cooker.
Yes.
And me mentioning that I don't have a slow cooker.
Yeah.
And what rocked up on, I don't know, Wednesday or something?
Wednesday. Yeah.
A slow cooker. And it obviously came to the door. Someone else was here. They took the delivery, and deliveries never come for me.
Well, they did on Wednesday.
Hashtag just saying. So I was like, oh, it's something for someone else. And then this little email pops up. Your gift has been delivered. I'm like, hey, what?
Yeah.
Open the link. Et voila. Gifted from Patty.
Yeah.
Slow cooker, which I used last night.
Sunday night.
Used last Sunday night.
I used it on Sunday night
and I cooked a delicious curry.
A curry.
And it was, honestly, the difference the slow cooker makes.
Yeah, honestly, it does.
I think you've changed my life, Pat.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Especially in these colder months.
Colder months, the autumnal wintry months.
Yeah. I got Patty, the other Patty, a gift.
It was so lovely. So, yes, thank you very much for sending that to me. Yes, you have changed my life.
Shall we do Le Big Questions?
Le Big Questions.
Here we go. Okay, so this person wants to remain anonymous. When we read the email out, you'll understand why. So this was an email. We will not say her name. It was from a woman, but we won't say her name. Hi, Ruth and Ange. Loving the podcast. I have a big question. Here goes. I've just moved in with a friend and she likes to bring men home. The thing is, I feel like I'm in a constant porno. By porno, I mean the noises and shit. How the fuck do I address this with her? Anon.
Bloody hell.
I mean, the noises and shit. I want to know what the noises are.
Well, you know what they'll be, Pat.
Not necessarily. My lovemaking may create very different noises.
Yeah, but on the this whole, person's... on the whole, if you think porno vibes, you know what you're getting.
Porno vibes. Well, I don't
know. A lot of grunting, a lot of screaming.
A lot of tennis match. A tennis match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
Think Maria Sharapova vibes.
Yeah. Think you haven't seen what's on the telly and you walk into the house and it's Marie. And it's Marie. What's her name?
Maria. That's the
Maria.
Yeah.
Maria Sharapova.
Yeah, giving it the
There
grunts.
Was a guy, wasn't there, as well, that did a lot of grunts. A lot of gruntage.
Mm. Well, generally, it does seem to be men that do grunt more.
Well, Maria Sharapova used to, like, scream, didn't she?
Yeah, but she grunted as well. She did a lot of...
Yeah, there was a lot of that, wasn't there?
Yeah, a lot of...
Why do they do that?
It's just the sheer power of the movement and the balls. That's what it is, Petty.
Why do some of them have to do it and some of them don't?
Well, I suppose you put that... You know, this goes back to Our Lady here in her porno. I mean, you know, some people are not noisy in the bedroom, some people are.
Some people are. I wonder why.
I think... A lot of the time, it's people who are showing off.
In the bedroom?
Well, both. Whether you're in the bedroom or you're playing tennis. You're showing off.
Hang on. Right, I'm going to have a game of tennis with you, but firstly, I need to know if you're a show-off.
No, you just go. I am just going to show off.
Oh, well, do you think you'd be a show-off?
No.
Are you not a show-off in the bedroom?
No. I mean, possibly in my younger days.
That could be like a good Plenty of Fish bio, couldn't it? You know, like, I do show off in the bedroom.
I am a show off in the bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will make it known if I don't like it or if I like it.
Yeah.
You were more of a show off when you were, you know, what?
I think the thing is, as soon as you have kids, that changes your bedroom showing off.
Antics.
Changes it because you're like, you can't actually be, you've got to keep quiet.
You've got to keep the noise down.
It's got to be very internal.
God, this is dive, doesn't it? This is dive.
I think we're talking around Anonymous's email.
Pornos. Do you also think as well, when you're younger, you're sort of desperate to let the person know that you're being pleasured.
Yes.
And so I think you become more sort of like, I've got to let you know this. And then as you get older and you've been married for, I mean, God, it's your wedding anniversary soon?
Tomorrow.
Shit, how many years?
Are we 20? 19 years. Fucking hell. 19
years. 19 years. I mean, there's no showing off now, is there?
No.
I mean, you're lucky if you get a match. And when you do get a match, you're definitely not showing off. You're not Marie Sharapova. Why can't I get her name right?
Maria.
Gosh, this is Helen Le Bonham Carter all over again. You're not Maria Sharapova anymore, are you?
No.
You're, who's somebody that would be quiet? Alan Titchmarsh.
No, I think Alan's probably quite a goer.
Do you?
I think
he's a goer.
I think gardening people are like dirty.
Do you?
Yeah, I think if you're a gardener.
Why do you think that?
I think if you're a gardener and you love. Oh dear.
Start again.
I think if you're a gardener and you love sort of being, you know, sort of very outdoorsy in your shed, in amongst the undergrowth and the mud, and I think you then sort of take that vibe into the bedroom.
Shit, do you?
Yeah, I think.
Are you speaking from experience?
No, because I'm not a gardener.
No, but have you ever been with a gardener?
No, I haven't actually. No, I've not had any gardener experiences.
You're not any gardener vibes.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, because if you think they are the way they are, we've probably missed out on something.
I think you're in for a great time with Alan.
Do you?
Yeah.
Anyway, how does she address it? That's the question she's asking. I think she's just got to tell her.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
What about a note under the door?
What, when she's mid-porno?
No!
No! Can you keep the noise down, please?
I mean, that would be quite funny. That would be quite funny.
Or maybe just barge in.
Yeah, barge in mid-flow.
Mid-sesh.
Yeah.
And just have a right, for fuck's sake.
Shut the fuck up.
I don't want to listen to your porno. If you want to be in pornos, piss off. You know, maybe that's the kind of vibe, but I don't think
or,
it is.
Or why doesn't she bring up, like, the fact that Wimbledon wasn't on this year? And then talk about missing the lawn tennis players.
Yeah.
Get you on track with their show-offs.
You could go in with the tennis vibe. That could be your opener.
Yeah.
Okay, about sort of just general sort of chit-chat about Wimbledon, tennis players who make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Moving on to your issue with the porno sounds you're hearing from the bedroom.
Because what you could say is, isn't it annoying when you're trying to concentrate on the tennis and there's too much noise?
Yeah.
Swap tennis for me trying to watch any fucking TV programme. Yeah. You make too much noise when you have sex. End of discussion.
Yeah. Pipe down or piss off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, though, in all seriousness, I think Anana's just got to raise it with her.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're going to stay living together and in
also,
a household...
I mean, she might not realise...
No, I think you know.
No, but sometimes when you're in the throes of, you just kind of, you know, you're kind of not really aware of.
Mum, Dad, if you're listening, this episode has been one for you for sure. We've covered whether Angie's going to show off in the bedroom or not. And now she's talking about being in the throes. So, Mal Marks, get a cup of tea, sit down, relax, enjoy.
But, you know, it's true, like, when you're in those kind of, you know, sometimes you just don't realise how loud you're being because you're
I think you
in
always realise. No, I think
no,
you always
I don't,
know.
I don't think you do. And I think probably or possibly this is a little bit around. And I actually think if you mention it to or raise it with her, I think she'll probably think, oh, shit, I didn't realise it was, I was
that
being
loud.
As loud as, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to stay in this house share for a while, it's only going to get more annoying.
Yeah.
And if she likes bringing men back, it's obviously not going to stop anytime soon, is it?
So she's obviously really going for it at the moment, isn't she?
Yeah, she's obviously in the season.
Yeah,
she's on heat.
Yeah, she is on heat, moment. And this could go on for quite a while.
Yeah.
So, I think you need to get on it.
Yeah. I mean, either you could do just a note under the door, you know, just to let, I don't know if you don't feel like you can, because sometimes that conversation, looking somebody in the eye is awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, but she must, to have moved in with her, they must know each other really quite
well. Not necessarily. It might be a house share that
she says, I've just moved in with her friend. So I would take it that she knows her relatively well. You know.
Even so, though, there are, you know, it is still quite an awkward thing to bring up, isn't it? Like looking someone in the eye while you're cooking your pasta. Oh, by the way, you sound like you're in a porno.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you don't feel able to start that conversation, maybe just slip a note under the door that says, got absolutely
you really
no problem
got a
with
thing
you.
About slipping a note. Why does she have to slip it under the door? I mean, just give her the.
If you don't feel comfortable talking, give her a note. Shove a post-it note on her forehead for all I care. Do you know what I'm saying? Is it might be easier to write it down. Oh my god, I'm crying. I'm also getting really hot. I'm really hot. Anyway. God, this has gone to mayhem already. Anyway, yeah, okay.
Either way.
Maybe not under the door.
Either way.
Perhaps there's a thing to say, look, I've got no problem with you bringing guys home.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's your house as much as it is mine. Could you just turn your vibrator sound down?
Just pipe down a little bit.
And you're screaming.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right, should we get on to what gets on my shitting tits?
Go for it.
Okay, right. So what gets on my shitting tits this week is, not quite sure which one to put Starbucks drink sizes and milk alternative shit.
Do you know what we had somebody say dickish behavior for this sort of vibe.
Yeah.
Somebody sent in a message for dickish behavior saying extra long coffee orders. They really do my head in. People who have extra long coffee orders.
The whole thing, right? It's just really, really starting to irritate me. And if I start with the drink, right, when you go into Starbucks and order a drink,
I know.
You can't just say, can I have a medium coffee?
Venti. Right,
say, yeah. Or tall. And actually, tall is not even that big.
No.
So why are they calling a tall a sort of small, really?
It's tall, isn't it? Tall, venti and grande.
No, these are the list of drink size
options,
right?
It's tall, venti and Ariana. They have got a grande in there because I always want to say, I'll have an extra Ariana, please.
I'll have an extra Ariana.
What the hell was that? I was going to say extra hot Ariana and it sort of got lost in my brain.
These are your options, right?
Yeah.
You can have a demi. Short.
Hang on, Demi Moore. You can have a Moore.
Moore. You can have a short.
Is there an actor called Short?
I think there was someone called
Short.
Yeah,
I think there was. Anyway.
So you can have a Demi, you can have a Short. You can have a tall. Martin Short. That's the
Martin
one.
Martin Short. Yeah. You've got a Demi, you've got a Martin.
A tall. A grande.
Ariana.
A venti. A Trenta.
Trenta's new.
Demi and Short, where the hell have they come from?
Demi and Martin, why are they kicking around now?
Yeah. So they are all your drink options. So you can go in and ask for a Trenta.
What's a Trenta then? Like a fucking massive Trenta size of your
huge head
thing?
It's like, yeah, it's fucking like, why the hell would you choose a Trenta? I don't know.
I mean, you'd have to remortgage your house to get a Trenta in Starbucks, I reckon.
I mean, you order a Trenta and you're full for the day. You don't need to eat or drink anything else.
Do you want dinner tonight, darling? No, I had a Trenta at 11:30. Say no more. Absolutely say no more. You had a Trenta at 8:30 this morning. Say no more. Why am I even asking?
Yeah, I'm not offering anything now. You've had a Trenta.
I won't offer anything for the next 24 hours because you've had a Trenta. Trenta is definitely new.
Yeah, but I didn't even know you could get a Demi in a short. I always knew it was the tall, the grande, the venti. What the fuck? Like, just have small, medium, large.
Medium, large. So what is a... Is a short like a flat white or an espresso?
Well, I don't know, because Demi... I mean, I'm assuming Demi must be like an espresso. Like a tiny
and just,
little, like...
Just while we're on this, it's espresso, not espresso.
Espresso.
Anyone who's going into a coffee shop asking for a black espresso is a dick.
Yeah. And it you is... don't know your coffees at all.
Espresso.
So I think your Demi is your espresso size. Literally,
what's your
like,
short then?
Gulp. Fuck no.
Do you reckon short's like a flat white?
Possibly, yeah.
Because they just come in one size,
in a
don't
size,
they?
A particular
your
size of
whites.
Cup. But again, like why? Why do flat whites have a particular cup? Like I know it's all to do with coffee strength and shit, isn't it? It's just bollocks, basically. That's what
but
I'm
what
coming
about
to.
The people who get to the front and go, I want an extra hot, no foam, no
wet
drip, no drip, vanilla,
well,
soya milk, Moroccan latte.
This is what Khloe Kardashian's Starbucks order is. Okay?
Oh my God, here we go.
This is what she orders. I would like a venti, 7-pump, no water, chai latte.
No water?
No, exactly. What? So you're just having... Milk.
No water.
No water. A venti, Seven pumps? Seven pumps of what? I mean, she doesn't even say seven pumps of vanilla. Just a seven pump.
Seven pump of gas. If you can do seven pumps of gas. Mr. Barista, while you're making my coffee, I want exactly seven pumps of gas and I will be counting, okay? Go.
Seven pumps.
He only does no five. Water. She chucks it in his face. That was only five pumps. Fuck you.
I asked for seven.
Do you remember when we went to Costa with James and he actually had quite an easy order and the barista could not get their head around it? So James ordered an iced espresso, an espresso over ice with a dash of oat milk.
Dash.
That was it. He just wanted a splash of oat milk in it. So he basically wanted an iced espresso with a little bit of milk. Yeah. This barista was like, so you want an oat milk latte? No.
No. But this is what I mean. This whole shit show about ordering a fucking coffee.
I agree. Sometimes I listen to people's orders.
I know, exactly. Oh, it's just gone. It's just gone too far.
And then what I love is the amount of stuff they have to write on the cup.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to start filling in a form. You go into a coffee shop, you fill in your form of what you want. You give that to your barista because there's too much shit on there.
Yeah, I'm with you. That gets on my tits as well. Like,
it's just gotten too far. It's gone too far. There's too much choice. There's too much shit. Yeah. Let's just sort of relax. Let's just, you know, let's just bring it back a little bit, guys.
Okay, Ange, what have we got for dickish behaviour this week?
When people put an S on the end of words that don't need it. For example, use twos, went to Lidl's, didn't use.
Why do people do that?
Yeah.
Use twos.
Use twos. I don't think I've ever said that in my life.
No.
Use twos. Oh, what are use twos doing? You know.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because people wouldn't say use threes.
No.
If there was three people, would they?
No.
They wouldn't say use fours.
Use fours.
It's literally only with
twos. I don't know. I think people would say use fours. Fours. What are use fours up to in there? Little cheeky monkeys. Don't say that. The dicks you watch.
Yeah, use twos.
Because they're especially, they're Essex and all, aren't I?
They're all like, they're Essex, isn't it? Do you reckon
Paul
Danny
Tony,
Dyer?
What use twos up to? Paul Tony Paul's. They'd be all over that shit.
Do you think Danny Dyer does a use twos?
Use twos.
Graham, use twos. Oh yeah, Wham. I reckon he does.
Wham.
The face you make when you say Graham. I wish people could see it. It's absolutely fucking hilarious.
Graham.
Graham.
I've just washed my
You just watched yourself in the monitor, haven't you?
Quap.
That is so funny.
I'll do it for the gram.
Yeah.
Gram.
I'll do gram
for the gram this week.
Yeah, use twos. And also, I did say this. In Mum's favourite episode, actually, we found out that Mum's favourite episode of the podcast was Two Wines and a Trifle, which was the first one Producer Doe ever edited.
Yeah, that's Marx's favourite. Yeah.
I say in that, much to my absolute disgust, Tesco's.
Yeah, I know. And you did a big thing about who says Tesco's.
I hate.
You go and say it.
I know. Tesco's, Asda's, Lidl's. Aldi's, no one's saying Waitrose's, are they?
No.
No one puts an S, you know, Sainsbury's is fine because it is.
Home bases.
Yeah, home bases.
I'm going down home bases.
Are used to's coming to home bases?
Home bases.
Why?
Yeah.
B&Q's. You going B&Q's?
You're going down Wix's.
Yeah.
People do actually say that, don't they?
Wix's, I know.
It's just Wix. Are you going to Wix?
It's got our name on it. Wix. I mean, that's a shit slogan, isn't it? Of course it's got your name on it.
It's got our name on it. Wixies. That's what it should be.
Or it's got his name on it. Graham.
Graham. Graham.
Do bit this week, we decided that we had a little chat. Anne shared a story with me about a friend who had come to her who was struggling quite a bit with comparison, and we decided that that would be quite a good topic of conversation.
It'd be a good serious shit chat.
Serious shit chat. And I think the thing with comparison is the intro of, firstly, you know, kind of picture phones. What's the word I'm looking for? Smartphones.
Smartphones.
The intro of smartphones, I think, has meant that you can instantly compare your life with anybody else's. So you can open Instagram and it's a whole just array. And look, you know, I think people are getting better. I think there's been a slight turn in not just sharing the best parts of your life on social media. I do think, but then sometimes I think it doesn't, from some people, it doesn't feel very real.
No, exactly.
It just feels like I'm doing this so people don't think I've got a perfect life, and I should do because it's a responsible thing to do on social media.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
But I think, you know, being able to scroll through picture after picture after picture of other people's lives and compare what you have in the here and now. Yeah, I think it can be really hard to manage, I think. And then I think when you have to go into the real world and, I don't know, you compare yourself to people at work who you think are better at you than what you better than you at what they do. For young people in school and college, you know.
I think definitely for that sort of, that very sort of end of school, so year sort of 10, 11 of secondary school, so sort of 15, 16, and then as soon as you get into that sort of college range of 17, I actually think those years are like crucial to how you manage that part of life. Because I think it's just, if you don't have, like I'm really, well, I hope I am anyway. I think I'm quite fortunate that both of my children would talk to me about stuff like that. I'm sure they don't talk to me about everything, and I wouldn't expect them to. But I think we've got quite a good relationship in that. I think they would come to me and talk to me about that stuff. Whereas I think for probably a lot of young people, they maybe don't have that sort of relationship with parents, or they don't have people.
Do you know what I would say? I would say we've become really good at understanding girls in comparison, but we're not very good at boys. And I think something's got to change, hasn't it? Like, you know, taking your own life or suicide being the biggest killer of men under the age of 40, that stat's been around for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, we have failed our men and we're still failing our boys. And I think we've got to open up the conversation so that we can say, yeah, we, you know, we get that girls flick through magazines or see models on a catwalk, or I don't know, see airbrushed photographs, and we've cottoned on to that. We know that women have been doing that since the beginning of time, really, comparing themselves to other women, especially in terms of body image and looks and things like that.
What you look like,
But we're still, in my opinion, completely failing our boys in terms of giving them the opportunity. And I know Love Island gets a lot of stick, and I know there's been a couple of people that have taken their own life on that show, and I totally, totally hear that. But there's been a couple of series where boys have become really tight.
Yeah.
And boys have cried, actually, on that show. And men have said, I've struggled with this, and they've come out afterwards and shared publicly their own struggles with comparison. And I don't think we can underestimate men on a Calvin Klein advert, how they make men and boys feel. Like, if we feel it as women when we see the Wonderbra advert, why do we think men and boys can switch off
from
that?
Don't feel that.
You know, it's just not true. And I think we, society has got to do much more to understand boys in comparison.
I think as well, especially as I think this whole sort of male grooming thing has become far, you know, if I sort of think of when, you know, we were growing up, really, if I sort of think for James, I don't remember that being such a kind of prolific thing that you would see on, well, you didn't really have social media, but on the TV and, you know, all that sort of, just wasn't really around. Whereas I think now there really is this pressure. On men and boys to look a certain way and to look after their skin and, you know, all that sort of stuff that women have felt forever. I think is definitely a much bigger issue for men now.
And it means we're like a decade behind, doesn't it?
Exactly.
For boys. It means we're like, we're in the 90s for boys where we were with women. We haven't quite caught up.
Caught up with that.
You know, the fact that the biggest killer still is not cancer.
No.
It's not COVID. It's not dying in a car accident. The biggest killer of men under the age of 45 is still
suicide. Yeah.
And I sort of think, how many more men have got to take their own lives for us to stop and realise that comparing yourself, feeling like you're letting people down, feeling like you're not good enough, carrying this burden of life is such that for them there's no escape. And, you know, Matthew has struggled with his mental health for a really long time, and I remember having conversations with him. You know, he's fortunate enough, he's got people he can talk to, he sees a therapist. For those men that don't have that,
no, exactly,
and they're just carrying this loneliness, this this comparison, this like I'm not good enough mentality, and so I think, you know, and also look, it is, comparing yourself is the thief of any joy, isn't it?
Oh,
the moment
absolutely.
You get into like, she's better than me, he's better, it just steals any kind of like self-fulfillment,
joy in your own life
that you have. You just spiral into this, I'm not good enough.
Mm.
And it can happen so quickly. And I think back into my own life when I've compared myself to people on social media, off of social media, in my job, friends, you name it. I've probably done it. Oh, she's prettier than me.
Yeah.
She's slimmer than me is normally a big one. They're funnier than me. They're cooler than me. Like, and actually I've got to a stage in my life now where I'm like, yeah, they may be all of those things, but I'm not them.
No. And I think that's the thing. It's about switching that sort of comparing yourself to someone else and going, what am I good at? What are the qualities in me? You know, whether it's about, you know, what you're studying or what you've managed to achieve from, I don't know, exercising or, you know, that sort of like just not looking at other people and comparing yourself to them, but going, actually, what am I good at? What are the qualities in me that actually some other people I look at, they don't have?
And also I think, you know, what's your legacy? When I die, nobody's going to be talking about my thigh gap or, you know, how big my boobs were, or, you know, at my funeral, nobody's going to be, they're going to be talking about the person that I was,
that
the things
were,
I brought to
were,
the world,
exactly.
The way I treated people, how, whether I had respect, if I had good manners. Nobody's going to be going, oh God, she had a beautiful complexion and a thigh gap and amazing boobs and a size 8 waist. Nobody's going to be talking about that shit when I'm not here. So if they're the things that you're comparing yourself, honestly, it doesn't matter. Like it's irrelevant. When we're not here, our legacy is going to be as such that we, you know, I want people to think, how did she make me feel when I met her?
Yeah.
Was she inclusive? Did she ask my name? Was she interested in me? You know, because, when I'm not around anymore, no one's going to give a shit about what I look like.
What you actually look like. No, exactly. Yeah.
So I think for me, and I think, you know, without getting too philosophical or whatever, but that we are all here for a reason. I can only bring to the table my stuff. Jenny, who I'm comparing myself to, can only bring her stuff.
Exactly.
I'm not her, and I've just got to bring my
stuff.
And
I'm going to bring something different.
That's right.
And he knows. Yeah. Be different. Be you. Kind of think, oh, well, actually, I'm not good enough, or I'm not like her, or I'm not like him. I'm, you know, find those things in you that are just the things that make you absolutely unique and special to the world and offer something completely different. Like, just
and you are needed.
You.
Even in the moments where you think you're not, this world definitely needs you, and being unapologetically yourself is the best thing you can do.
Finding the funny. Finding the funny.
thank you so much for listening. We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden.
Alternatively, you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com. And while you're at it, would you mind going and giving us a great review and 5 stars on Apple Podcasts? We'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.